Well, this morning we're going to be talking, going back over dealing with the Spirit-led life. We're going to talk back into some things the Lord had me talking about, and that's he wants me really. He's been talking to me about emphasizing about when being led by the Spirit. Many people, you know, they want to be led by the Spirit of God. They want to hear the Holy Spirit say something. They want to have a vision or a dream, or they want a prophet to talk, or they want something like. People are looking something more to the outward than they are to the inward. And the number one way that God will lead you is through the inward witness, not through a voice, through an inward witness. There becomes a thing knowing in you. You know, the Bible says we know we passed unto death, unto life, because we love the brother. And in other words, there's something on the inside that happens to us, and we know from passed unto death, unto life. You know, we have, which one of our scriptures that we use from Romans 8:16, which is Spirit himself, he bears witness with our spirit that we're a child of God. It doesn't say he says it. It doesn't say he gives us a vision or something. He says he bears witness with our spirit. There's a knowing on the inside. And how do you stay in contact with that knowing? Because this is one of the things I've learned this over time. When I first got saved, I heard ministers talk about this, but I've learned it over time to be true. Probably about 90% of the time that God's going to lead you, he's going to lead you by the inward witness, not by a voice, not by the preacher. He's going to lead you. It's number one, see, it's important. You can never fulfill the plan of God in your life just reading and studying the Bible. You know why? Because I would have never been in the ministry. I never even went to the ministry if I would have just done that, because Ed's name ain't in there and says Ed's going to be a minister, Ed's going to be a pastor, Ed's going to do this or that. It ain't in there. How do you find those things out? How do you know? You got to be led by the Spirit. This is how you know those things. And so it's hugely important. See, your personal life. See, God's personal. He gives us his word so we can know things about him so he can reveal himself to us. That's why he does it. The word will just become a law to you without the Spirit. It's just a law. It'll become do's and don'ts. Yeah, I do this. I'm really a good person. The Spirit's what brings life to it. The Spirit gives life. That's what it does. And the Spirit, we need to know. The Holy Spirit's living. You wouldn't need the Holy Spirit living in you if the Bible was just enough itself. How did Israel do? They had a written down book. Worked out great, didn't it? Ended up in Babylon. Worked out real well. See, we have the Spirit in us and the whole thing. See, God's a personal thing. And we want to come in contact. And anything you want to come in contact is learn to be led by the inward witness. And the inward witness, it's not a voice. It's not something. There's things that you know. You know, you're bearing witness. It's just like revelation. Receiving revelation. You know, it doesn't matter if I stand here and teach. If it doesn't bear witness with your spirit, you can sit around. See, this is what people do. They don't have a witness in their spirit something's true. They just heard somebody preach it and they go try to do it and they wonder why it don't work. You know, I came to the place as I studied in the area starting off. God really dealt with me a lot in the areas of healing when I first got born again. But I studied it till I knew inside of me. God wanted me well. I knew inside this healing thing was for day. The Spirit was bearing witness with my spirit. It bears witness with you other than you're just a child of God. It bears witness with you of the truth of the Word and what to do with it. The Spirit will just bear witness. You get knowing. Let me say this to you about, see, because we talk about, well, specific in the areas of direction, but I want you to understand this. This is one thing as I learned over time, is in the areas when people in teaching and listening to teachers. We need to understand this. People teach on things, and they might have a part that they're teaching, but it ain't the whole thing. And see, what people miss it many times, they hear a certain part taught, and they just try to take that part and go, and they don't listen to their spirit. Many times I come along, and I've listened to people teach stuff, and I thought, well, that's true, but there's something missing. There's something else I need. There's something else is to that. But see, so many people, they're led by people. And so if that person said it, well, then therefore, you know, and it seems true, then we just want to take it. No, we don't. Think about this. This is one thing is why you cannot be led by prophets. The prophet's ministry is never to lead to nothing. This is why we're in such a mess today. We've done listening to prophets until it's got nuts. Paul said this, and I wonder if he's right. I'm not quite sure, but he said we prophesy in part. You need more than a prophecy. This is why many Christians never go nowhere. Some prophet said. It doesn't matter. We prophesy in part. Prophesy. Brother Hagin used to tell us all the time, prophecy ain't the whole thing. He said, he used to tell us, well, prophesy in part. I give you a part. It's not the whole thing. God gives you a part. You need to understand that. It's a part. And there's one thing that, you know, we do, I mean, and is we need to come down and learn. And the reason we do this, not to criticize anybody, but it is so easy. People want to be led by something outwardly. Then I don't have to spend time to learn to live inwardly. But see, you're going to have to, if you're going to be successful as a Christian, that's the way you're going to have to learn to be led inwardly. That's the success of Christianity. Why? There's a lot going on in the outside. And you know what? I ain't bright enough naturally to judge it all. I need help on the inside. And see, people don't. That's why we had in the past presidential election, that's why we had all these prophets standing. All of them wrong. They're wrong. All out there doing blowing wind out here. People just jumped into it up to their necks. Why? Because they're carnal. They're not spiritual. And the guys who were saying it were acting carnally and not spiritually. See, back in 1985, during the height of, during the charismatic renewal's power of God movement, Kenneth Hagin said, many of the ministers who are operating in the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge are operating through familiar spirits. But see, people, it is easy. We don't look at the fact, can a minister be misled? Yes, he can. We're too quick today, and we have many years past, we're too quick in the charismatic move to say, to speak. We're too quick. We're too slow to hear. Now, we think hearing just listen to preaching. No, hearing the Holy Ghost. We're too slow. Too slow to listen. You know, there's things that God has told me in the past few years. There's some one thing I would only ever said to one person. And because I was asking them about it, sort of running it by them because of their spirituality. I want to run by, because I know things were missing. There was things, there was parts to what the Spirit showed me. There was part. It ain't time to bring it out. You know what? People, you know, sometimes God shows people things, and I know there's things God shows me. You don't preach because people are not ready to hear it. You'll waste your time and cause more problems by saying. And this is one thing. We got the dumbest prophets. They just throw everything out there all the time. All the time just throwing everything out. It's like, hold it, hold it, hold it. Be slow to speak. Slow down on this. You know, let's start hearing. What do we hear? When is time? See, there's a lot to this in maturity in areas. You know, if you think, now you go over here, you know, in 1 John, John wrote this in 1 John 4:1. He said, beloved, do not believe every spirit. He said, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Many. He didn't say there's a couple out there. Many. There's a lot being said. But see, you have the protection in you. You know, you got more than you realize you have. You do. You know, somebody that stands in a ministry office, there's certain things God may do for them, but they may not yield to it right or do right. You have to have a protection. And God put that in from the beginning. You have the Holy Spirit. You do. You do. Get that in you. You do. Like years ago, the Lord spoke to me back years ago concerning my gift of teaching. He said to me one time, he said, your gift is as good as anybody. He said, there ain't nobody got a better teaching gift than you got. That's what he said. Wow. See, it's what you do with the gift. We're given things from God. You got the same Holy Ghost. There is not some minister or some prophet got a better Holy Ghost than you got. You. See, God will lead and guide you. You can go over there. It's one of the things I remember hearing a teaching on this. Brother Hagin talked about a minister had told him one time, he had invited a guy into his church to teach, and this guy got off teaching some things. He said, when I first listened to him, he said, I thought, you know, he's touching over the areas that just don't seem right. But he said, after a while, he said some things, he said that were just off, and he said, I went to him and told him, he said, look, these things, where are you getting this stuff that you're teaching from? He said, I'd like to have some scripture, some chapters and verses. And the minister said, well, I'm out beyond that. Well, his brother Hagin said, well, you've gone too far now. I'm out beyond that. That's what he said. But anyhow, this guy ended up, because of what he taught, caused great division in the church. And a bunch of the people left his church and followed after this guy. But this was what was interesting. Because this minister told Kenneth Hagin, said it's quite interesting, because he said most of the baby Christians in the church didn't follow after it. They figured something was wrong. What happened? You see, people get over, and they get, as they grow and get older in the Lord, they don't think they have to do what they did when they were a baby. They don't want to pay. You know, we know now, I'm smart. I've watched this. See, I've arrived now. Yeah, I've been around a long time now, you know, and so, you know, I know a lot about the Bible. You got to be led by the Spirit. In other words, those younger Christians, they were protected. They knew their need for God. The older folks didn't. They're so smart. You never get old. I've learned to stay around. I need God desperately. I need God. I need the help of the Holy Spirit. When I feel that I have enough knowledge, I'm in trouble. I need the help of the Holy Spirit. I need help. And see, you always want to keep yourself is your need. See, this is what Christianity's lost is. This is how we've gotten in the messes we're in. The devil's come along, and people, they've gotten heads as big as a, you know, a beach ball. And spiritually they do. And they've gotten over here and lack of need. And after a while, God's to the outside. And they'll swear, oh yeah, we love the Lord and we're following the Lord. They ain't following the Lord at all. They think they're smart. They think they know. You know, the Bible wasn't kidding, but said, without him, I can do nothing. When I start figuring I can do stuff, troubles come. See, Christianity has failed because we got so smart and we can do all these things today. It's like the one Chinese minister here in the United States, when he went to leave, they asked him what he thought of the American church. And he said, it's amazing what you can do without God. That's what he said. And it's right. That's the American church. It's amazing what we have done without God. We have built houses. We have built places. We have built it and made it big. And where's God in our nation? If God ain't showing up in the nation, it's because he ain't showed up in the church. Oh, man, I need God. I know the desperation. I'm going to talk to God about it. I always tell God every day, more than one time, Lord, if you don't show up in America, we're done. There is no hope for America. Without God, America's finished. There is only one thing that we have to look forward to, and that's destruction without God. There is nothing. There is, that's the only thing. It's judgment beyond what you ever thought could ever happen. Suffering beyond the unimaginable. It would be nice to have a move of God. It is desperately needed. This is far beyond economies and voting and all that kind of stuff. It's far beyond that. We need God. We need God from keeping this thing blowing up, because it's about to. And we need to see it. We need to understand the desperation of our time. You know, as I've said before, you know, when I started off as a Christian, born again, God had me go read Jeremiah. Told me go to Jeremiah and read and study Jeremiah. And I thought, boy, ain't that exciting as a young Christian. But I'll tell you what he was showing me. See, I'm going to be a guy living in the days of Jeremiah. I'm living in Jeremiah's day. I'm living in a nation where the believers, the prophets are out here prophesying all kinds. Everything's going to be wonderful. Everything's great. And everything's, oh, it's just going to be, my God, it's all wonderful. And don't see the decline. They don't see what's going on. They don't see what's happening. It isn't everybody, but there's a load of mess out here, and don't see the trouble that we're in. I don't see it. Like, oh, well, we're just going to sit back and we're on this roller coaster. We're going to get to go down the big hill. It's going to be exciting. Yeah. They don't know, though, the track's out on their big hill. And this is why. This is why we need, you know, is one of the things God dealt, let me just say this, God dealt with me about this. You know, in Jeremiah's time, you know, they always use the scripture, and we take the scripture, you know, God was looking for a man, you know, if he had just found one guy. Well, the Lord told me, said, well, that's one of those part truths, and they throw it out all the time, but he said, Jeremiah was one man these days. He said, did I spare the nation? See, there's certain things that are conditional, but things can go beyond. We have passed the hump, folks, and this is a time of, hey, I'm going to follow God. This isn't a matter, you know, this is, there's a lot in this nation that ain't going to stand. You know, back in 1963, Kenneth Hagin's prophecy talked about the Lord told him, said, you're going to lose freedoms in this nation that you'll never get back again. Well, are we going to those days? Are we in those days, in those times? Here we are living in it. He said about communism, that time is your communism taking over. We today call it socialism. Just put the we put a nicer name on it because it just sounds better. It's communism is what it is. It's where the government is God and takes care of everybody and we throw God out. That's what communism was. When communism took over in Russia, it threw God out. You weren't allowed to have God no more. And the government is now the God and he will take care of you. And that's even what most Christians want. The church has become the communistic church. We'll take care of you. Oh, we talk God, but you don't have to work. Do you? We'll feed your butt. We'll find a way to take care of you and you can be as ungodly as you want. Oh yeah. We're living in it. Where'd the government get all these ideas from? Because they've been in the church. That's where they get them from. The same spirit. It's not a different spirit. We're destroying people calling it love. We're destroying people, pushing them more and more over the dependency of other people rather than dependency of God and calling it loving them. It's not loving. You see, if we would be led by the Spirit, if we ever listen to the inside, see, we're moved by the emotion, the outside. We look at a person, whatever's going on. Ministries learned this. You know, they want you to give money. You know, they're watching TV. They'll throw something up there that gets your emotion. You know, they throw things up there that get you emotionally. They want you to buy something. You know, my God, we got this. I'll show you this gold cross, and it got a chip of the stone that is from Christ's grave. We don't even know if that was ever even Christ's grave. This whole thing of this tomb that people go to, there's no proof that that's the real tomb of Jesus. It's where people go to worship and they go do things there more interested in the tomb than the Jesus who is risen. That's good preaching. But see, it's worth doing. And church, they've learned this stuff. They know how to make money. I mean, I sat in the meeting of a big name minister that, you know, was always preaching about everybody else and their sin and that stuff. And he's selling it. We went to one of his meetings. He was selling his autograph for $50. Buy his autograph. Never listened to him after that. I thought, you moron, selling your autograph. Who are you? I mean, Jesus didn't even sell his. And he gave us that. He gave us his name to use. And didn't even sell it to us. And that sucker is standing up for 50. I'll sign your Bible. I thought, I'd like to go down there and smack him with mine. Knock him out. I had a good study Bible. It was about that thick. I could have laid him out. Selling your autograph. Going to a service and guys selling autographs. This is what we're doing. See, they learned how to get... See, the people that don't know and don't live by their inner man, they get sucked up in that stuff. See, he's popular and I got his autograph. You talk about carnal Christianity? Every Christian that went and did that, they needed slapped with the Bible too. This carnal Christianity, it's loaded with it today. Loaded with it. We're doing all kinds of things. It's more of a business than it is a church. It's more of a business. It's about business. We've lost spirituality. Men no longer hearing on the inside. That's why this good, when you lose contact with the inside, you can't be spiritual. Impossible. Impossible to be spiritual and lose contact on the inside. You can't do it. It is impossible. And anybody tells you like it is, they're a liar and they're listening to demons. They're yielded to demons. It's only, Christian is about the inside out, not the outside. It's not moved by the stuff around you. And see, we've made, there's nothing about having stuff. There's nothing about having trees. There's nothing about doing. But you can't be moved whether God does, whether you do any of that or not. I'm not letting people say, you know, Jesus is the reason for the season. Well, are you led by the Spirit? Or if you're not, who cares you run around saying that stuff? It means nothing. It ain't worth spit. It's just a saying. Because if you don't listen to the Holy Ghost in you, Jesus is no benefit to you. The only way you and I know Jesus is through the Holy Spirit. He's the one who, he's the revealer of Jesus. I need him. That's why when Jesus left, he said, I'm going to send you another comforter. So you're going to need a comforter. You're going to need a helper down here, and I'm going to send you another one. That word another there means one of the same kind. I'm going to send you one just like me. When you got the Holy Ghost, just like having Jesus in you, why wouldn't we pay attention to that? Woo! You got, just like having Jesus? And people say, you need a personal relationship with Jesus. I never met one person ever said that, and I thought they had one, a personal relationship with Jesus. It's a saying. If you don't know the Holy Ghost, you don't know Jesus. It's just that simple. He's the one on the, he's bearing witness with our spirit on the inside of us. And I want you, I was always so thankful that I learned how the importance of that is, the spirit bearing witness with your spirit of on the inside. There's many times in the areas of teaching and that stuff. In fact, I had a thing back in last year in June that the Spirit of the Lord spoke something to me and said something. It didn't come from an inner witness. It actually came from the voice of the Lord spoke to me in the inside. In the inside, it was the voice of the Lord spoke to me something. But I knew by inward witness, there's something else to that. And I didn't know what it was. I thought, why? Why did he say it at this time and why did he? I didn't know why. But I just had a sense on his. So at different times, I remarked to the Lord about it. There's some different times. And here, I just gotten an answer about it, about what it was. It's come along. And here it was. I was online and I looked and I saw this minister was going to be talking about something. And it was about a book he brought out. And I went and I sat down and I thought, I just get inside of me. No voice that said, you need to listen to what he has to say. I just knew it. I just knew it. So I thought I'm gonna. So I went over and listened to what he had to say, and then I knew this. See, he had wrote this book. You need to get that book. See, there was something else I needed that was tied. See, I could have run out and just said to everybody and tell everybody what the Lord told me, but I didn't have it all. You see, you got to learn this. I don't know how you do it without the Spirit, other than messing things up. And so here it is, from last June till November, and then I found out what the whole thing was about. And it astounded me because of what God told me back then was something that had started centuries ago, and he's revealing to me in our time about things that are happening. And I only had a partial thing on about it. I didn't have what it was all about in this happening. I didn't have it, but I got it. All of a sudden I knew why he did it, why he did it the time he said it. I was like, oh man, I didn't see that coming. I didn't see that. See, this is why we're always learning. When Paul talked about it, yeah, we prophesy in part. We know in part. We're always operating in these parts and we need full revelations. And see, this is one thing as I learned over the years that Kenneth Hagin understood that. There's other ones that understood that. There's things that come along and we get in parts and we just don't jump out there with it and run out because it can really mess people up. And I'm thinking, man, how many times we mess people up? But see, it only happens because of this. We don't live by what's on the inside. We're not paying attention. You know, I've learned it. When I start to get something inside, I know something may be right, seem right, but there's something on the inside just like, something wrong. Wait. Wait till that clears up. Wait till that clears up. Even in the doing. You know, sometimes we want to do things. It's like, I learned this from different people in ministry, and they talk about, you know, people get over and they get a sense to do something. I remember Kenneth Hagin, the first times I've heard him talk about it, he said, most of the things he said that we were doing in the ministry today, he said, God spoke to me numbers of years ago about it, but he said, it wasn't time to do it. It was a preparation. See, he had to learn to listen. Even though God said it, he knew in his spirit, it's not time to do that. To hold off, God is preparing him for that. See, we so many times run out to just do it. We got to do it. I think there's many people have had great failures in things God told them to do. And it was God. No, see, I don't understand. I did what God said and didn't work because you weren't in the right time. You didn't wait till you got the full story. You didn't wait till maybe you were ready. You know, God sure is ready, but sometimes we're not. Sometimes we must develop to a point. This is where the inward witness is so beneficial to us. Is that, you know, yeah, I know God said, but what about that? I've had times of things the Lord told me things and I just knew inside, and I even said to the Lord, yeah, I know what you're saying, but I don't know what to do about that. Well, see, because I need to come to the time or the place I know what to do about that. Inside of me, I knew, nah, I ain't ready for that one. He's saying it, but it's not time to run off and do that. There are some times you just know you got to go do that. Well, see, that's where in the inside. Majority of the time, there's not a voice to say that. The voice doesn't say that, just on the inside of you. On the inside of you, you know, it's like, I always go, if something just ain't, I don't feel right about it, I don't move till I get in the inside. I'm not talking about a physical feeling. It just, something in the inside, just there's, I always listen, Brother Hagin used to say about a check in your spirit. I just get sort of inside of me, I need to wait on this. Somehow, something's not fit. It's learning to stop. This is being led by the Spirit. This is where it is. See, and everybody wants a voice. They want a vision. I have had visions. I've had dreams already. I've had the voice of the Lord talk to me and all those things. But just say, that there may be over here like about 10% of my Christian walk that's ever happened. 90% of the time, 90% of the time, it's an inward witness on things. Now, I never, you know what? I can pray about the inward witness, but I never pray about having a vision or a dream, or I don't ever pray about none of that. If God wants to give me one, He can. He can do that, but you got to be very careful in those anything. Anything you take to that side of getting out into those things, you can open up to demonic powers. Because the devil can give you a dream, and the devil can turn around and give you a vision. There's Christians who had them and followed them, you know. And things didn't turn out. I know ministers that have had visions and followed them and turned out total failures on things. They were not, it wasn't God didn't give them the vision. They were impressed. By, you know, what they saw, I want to know. So one thing, see, is I learned, I followed after people, things that made sense. Like with Kenneth Hagin, when he had visions and stuff, God always gave him revelations from the Word. See, many times the people get off, they don't get, they see things, they say, but it ain't from a revelation. Now, number one, you want to walk in a revelation is what it, you want it revealed to you. And the Holy Spirit's not going to move outside the Word. He doesn't do that. Yes, I've learned this over the years. When God gives me anytime revelation comes to me on anything, there's always, God gives me the Word about different things. He'll give me the Word. Or sometimes to me, it'll just be like this. The Lord will say something, and all of a sudden, just like up inside of me, right, no voice said or nothing. All of a sudden, to my mind will come three or four scriptures. Will just rise up in line with that. See, those are the ways Spirit moves. See, if you don't listen to that, you know, you bypass it and go on off into something else. That's why you got to be led by the Spirit. We got to be led by the Spirit. And if we're going to be led by the Spirit, most of the time He is going to lead us through the inward witness. And it's being careful, because today, it's just like the Scripture, you know, tells us concerning about the voices out here. There are many voices, and none with, all of them are, they're none without significance, it says. But we need to be able to test those spirits. In Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 13:5 and said, examine yourself as whether you are in the faith. He said, examine yourself. Most people never do that. You know, one of the things I've found, and many people go jump off into faith stuff, and they don't examine themselves, and they're just, well, I'm going to trust God. Have you checked yourself out to see if you can? Do you even know yourself where your faith is at? See, I've learned from people who were around much longer than I do of about that. There's one thing is I had to learn this is learning patience. Is not to be so quick to jump off. Even when, you know, I'm in a situation and I've got to put my faith out there. Maybe something, if it's being attacked physically or something. But I've learned this over the years. I don't just jump and start praying for healing right away. I know these people waste their time doing that. They're going to end up further away from healing. They aren't ready to even go there. They haven't stopped and checked. Am I really in the faith? Am I ready to step out in faith in that thing? Or am I just going to quote a scripture because I know this scripture and I know it. I'm just going to say that and just jump and go right to it. That's what people generally do. They don't stop. Say, is my faith really at the place? Today I can believe I received that. And then from now on, I'm going to act like I got it. Those people can't. They will never act like they got it. They'll run around, quote the scripture, and act like they're still sick. they'll act like God didn't do nothing. Why? They never check themselves out. This is what we're supposed to do. Listen to this. He said, examine yourself to whether you're in the faith. Test yourself. Test yourself. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. One of the things in translation, and also that can be translated, and says unless you don't understand the test. You see, people need to understand. We test ourselves to find ourselves out. Where am I? See, we talk about being tested of Satan and, you know, God sometimes, you know, he worked out tests with us. People talk about, do you test yourself? See, I've learned over the years to test whether I have faith in things. I've learned to do this. You know what I do? I'll set my faith to believe some for something I don't specifically need or want, but I'll just, is my faith working? See, most people in between where everything happens or they need money or they need healing or they need this, they never use their faith in between that. They never test their faith out, you know? You know, if you don't drive your car often, it'd be a good thing every once in a while to go out there and make sure it's keeping working. You know, when you do need it, it will start. How many times have you been people you don't use their car a lot, and when they get out there and it's the cold weather time and they've never really tested it out and the battery ain't working and they need it? See, you want to stay keen spiritually. Faith's of the heart. It's on the inside. This is the place where we're listening. This is the place we need to know. We need to know on the inside, I'm ready to go. You know, when I need that car, it's going to be ready for me. I'm going to go out there and it's going to start and I'm going to go. Well, your faith is exactly the same way. It's no different. People ain't ever using it for nothing. And then they sit around, they got to use it. I have Kenneth Hagin on his teaching and he did a minister's conference that he taught on the areas of healing, and he talked about the fact of people. He said most people, he said lots of times people come up with a severe ailment, you can't get them healed because they've waited too long. See, they've never tested their faith, kept their faith working. Now all of a sudden they come up with something bad and they want to now, they have a 10-pound lift in faith and they want to lift 1,000 pounds. And it ain't happening and they ain't got time to build their faith to the place of 1,000-pound faith. They don't have enough time. You need to understand, it takes time to build your faith. It don't happen overnight. You know, you guys have heard me talk. Wanda and I, our first financial, our big money thing that we believe God, $20. But you know what? $20 faith was a stretch for us. That was a big deal to us. And when God brought that $20 in, you'd have thought he sent us a check for $1 million. We won the lottery. But the whole thing to us was, God, we trusted God. God did this for us. Hell, today the Christians will just get down and borrow money from the bank or pull their credit card. And then borrow money they can't pay back. Good preaching. It's easy to do. We stopped and we're going to believe God for $20. And, you know, that was big. I mean, like, but when that happened, it was one of the things, I mean, to us it was thrilling because God spoke to us. And he did it in a very supernatural way. I mean, Wanda's walking down the street and nobody's around. Now, this ain't going to happen all the time. But you know what? We were baby Christians, and God was just inspiring us. And Wanda's walking down a street with a girl. She was on 8th Street in Lebanon, walking down toward the railroad there, down that. That's where, the hardware store down there by the railroad. She was down there walking down through there by herself, nobody else around the street, and the wind blew and brought a $20 bill up to her feet. Man, you'd have thought we died and went to heaven. But see, those things inspire you. But you know, if you would ask us at that time, say, believe God for $100, you might have you forgot it. We couldn't have done that. $100? Is God that big? Say, he might have done that for Moses, but I'm not sure about Ed. But see, what we were doing, we put our faith out, and we learned over time of putting our faith out. And we went into those things of little things here and there that we put our faith out. You know, and those were little weights. But I'll tell you, there's a day, it's a big weight. The day I had a heart attack, I could pick it up. The day I had a blood clot in my lung, I could pick it up. Didn't start there. But you know why? I'd been testing my faith. I just been learning to where I can stand. Learning those things. Those are important things. But people, they're not learning to be led by the Spirit. See, the Spirit led me into those things. The Spirit led me in to listening to it, of what you had to do. I learned back listening to my Spirit, putting your faith out into things that you can do naturally and say, I ain't going to do it. I'm going to trust God to take care of that. Put that thing out there. Tested my faith out. I'm going to trust God in this. I could go buy it. I could pull the money out of my wallet and go buy it, but I'm not going to. I'm going to trust God to bring it. See, putting those things out there. You know what? I've heard ministers, those kind of things that you can do, God expects you to do. Well, when are you going to test your faith? I wasn't going to try to give myself cancer to figure this thing out. So you can't pay attention to half these people because they don't know nothing about listening on the inside. You listen on the inside and God will direct you and inspire you and bring you to a place of faith where you'll have strong faith to stand. That's why you got to be learning it. You know, there's certain things that God could speak to me in a way. You know, it's like anybody. You yourself, there's certain things God will turn around. He knows what makes you tick and He can speak to you in your way. And you ain't going to have somebody always standing and preaching and teaching exactly what you need to hear all the time. You're going to have to hear some things yourself from God, and God's going to have to. See, God had a way of, you know, God could be very blunt with me. I didn't get offended. You know, you get too many people today and they're just so touchy and everything else, it's hard to talk to them. You can hardly preach to them, and God has a hard time talking to them. You know, but God, you know what? God will try to find a way to talk to them. God will try to find a way to get around to them. He's always trying to figure out a way how to do it. He's always, why? He's in the blessing business. That's just who he is. He ain't got a curse. Why would he want to curse you? You'd do good enough yourself. Well, you don't have to. You know, he don't have to be my problem. I was my problem. He's my answer. And He leads you on the inside. This is why you want to listen on the inside, because that's when it gets really personal. That's when things, and that's what you want. That's personal relationship. Personal relationship ain't in the book. Personal relationship tells us about God, then the Holy Spirit takes it and makes it real to you by an actual communion with God. It becomes real. And God is so real. Somebody can tell me today it isn't so, and they can say what they want. You can't talk me out of it. I have not read about it. I have experienced it. Hallelujah. All we got's readers today. They only know it by rote. They know, you know, the average preacher today is only preaching book reports. That's all they do. They don't have revelation, and they don't have experience, and they don't have, there's too much of, it's gotten too far away. It's trying, because you talk to people real, and I feel very bad for the people, because they need to hear something real. They need to hear from somebody say, you know what? I've done run into God. It ain't something on a page anymore. He took those wonderful things off the page, and that's living in me. That's it. And it's bearing witness in me on the inside. And what I need to know, and He'll talk to me on my level, where I'm at. See, everybody needs that. From the time I was a young Christian, you need that. And that's where the inward witness comes from. You're sitting down reading the Word, and all of a sudden, just by inside, you know what that thing means and what it's really talking about. It's nice words on a page, but all of a sudden now, it's living to you. And a voice has not said nothing. But it rose up inside of you and you knew. And I got a revelation. God is in communion with me. Hallelujah. God is revealed. See, to me, they're the most precious things. You know, just like with this thing, when the Lord spoke to me over a year ago. And I was thinking, all this time spent, He is moving to get me over to be able to see something He wanted to show me. And you know what? He didn't quit. Maybe He tried something back then and I missed it. I don't know. But you know what? This is one thing I didn't know. He didn't quit. Till He turned around and got it across to me, what He's trying to say. He didn't stop. And you know what? He didn't get nervous about it. He took His time and He showed me. And I said, Lord, thank You. Thank You for being so kind and showing me so that I could see. So I got the part I didn't know. By what listening, all I did was I saw this guy's and I just thought, you need to listen to what he has to say. There was no voice. You just need to listen to what he had to say. I thought, well, then I'll listen to what he has to say. See, those things come. You know, one of the things that I found out? Some things sometimes I didn't find out because I was too busy. My life was too important about what I was looking for. And I had a witness in me, but I didn't follow it. See, we got to learn to follow that witness in us. Follow that witness in you. I tell you what, you want to hook up to the blessing. And that's one of the things that we need to do. God wants to lead us. It is the most wonderful thing that you have. You know, we can get over, so many are looking for the natural areas. No, we could go over, in the book of Judges, it goes over there and talks about Gideon. And one of the things, see, Gideon did a natural thing, but we need to understand, and Gideon's doing a natural thing, Gideon was not born again. He was not a child of God. We're not going to read it in Judges. It's from Judges 6th chapter. But Gideon did the thing of putting out the fleece. I don't know if you've ever heard. They used to have a saying a lot. They used to use it as I was growing up as a kid about getting fleeced. They used to use that. Well, that actually came from Gideon and the fleece. But we as Christians, in other words, Gideon said, well, God, You told me that You were going to deliver Israel through me. Well, now You got to prove it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a fleece out. He did this thing of if the fleece is dry and the ground's wet, then I know, well, that wasn't good enough either. Then it's if the ground's wet and the fleece is dry. So he threw it both ways and God did it. But we need to understand, we're dealing with a man who's not born again. He does not have the Spirit in him. God is not going to lead you in that manner. I've heard people, well, you know, God does this. I got to laugh at Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin, he said, I put a fleece out one time. He said, there was a church that wanted him to come and pastor their church when he was first starting off. And they wanted to pastor the church. And he said, I put out a fleece. And what he's talking about, in other words, he put this thing out and God, see, he's going to put something natural out there. God, if You want me to be the pastor of that church, You will get me 100% of the vote of the people of the church. Because that's what they did in those days with the assemblies of God. They voted people in. So he said, you'll get me 100% of the vote. And he said, I got 100% of the vote. And he said, they got fleeced and I got fleeced. He said, now listen to what happened. I want to tell you how important it is you do what's right. You want to know why God don't work in your life, son? Your disobedience. You know, see, he put that fleece out. God let him live with it. He said, for 14 months, he said, I was at that church and never had the anointing on me to preach the whole time I was there. He said, every time I stepped up, he said, I'd study and get the anointing to be on me. He said, when I stepped in that pulpit, he said, the anointing would just leave me. And he said, and then he goes on to tell the story. He said this when his wife finally told him after a long period of time. She said, you got pretty good where you give a pretty good talk. He said, my wife wasn't one to mostly say anything, but she was exactly right. He said, I was never so glad to leave that church in my life. He said, I was never so glad to leave. Because he said, every time I get up to preach, he said, there's no anointing. There's no anointing to preach. He says, never. Can you imagine? You're a minister. This guy's nursing an anointing, and for 14 months, no anointing to preach. Why? He put out a fleece. He's got the Spirit of God. See, Christians wonder why, you know, sometimes, you know, they talk about, you know, the spirits, you know, go out of a person and they leave and they go through dry places. Sometimes Christians do that. They go do things. God didn't tell them to do and they go through dry places. They lose the anointing on their life. Things don't work and things just get real dry. Things don't work. And what's the matter? What's wrong? What's going on? Why? You'll find out almost every time there's something in their spirit. They knew they weren't supposed to do. They did. But they you know, everything looked good. It looked nice. See, we don't put out fleeces. We don't put natural things because people miss it. So anyhow, he got out of this church. Anyhow, he got over and was in another church in ministry and he got out then into field ministry. But he said, he told the Lord, Lord, let me come back to that church and preach because he said, I want to know those people know that I have an anointing. And he went back and he preached at the church. They had him come back and preach. And he preached and they said, when did you learn how to preach like that? You didn't do that when you were here. He said, because I was out of the will of God and you were too. We were all out of the will of God. It's one thing, see, I learned about those things. See, it's one thing you protect the anointing. You don't put it out there to natural things are not your answer. Well, if this looks good and turns out nice, then we're going to do it. See, today, basically, that's how the church runs. It's run by look good. We have all that looks good. But there's no anointing. The power of God's not there. And see, we want that. You want that for your life. This is why you personally, you know, you can personally, your own person. Now, Brother Hagin was there. He, in his own personal life, God blessed him. But the anointing didn't work because he was in the wrong place to preach. I can't imagine what that'd been like for 14 months here in a place and you don't have the anointing to preach. Well, it's a hard way to learn. It's like, you know, Sunday morning and that stuff, man, you don't want to get out of bed. It's like, nah, God, keep the sun down today. We're just, I'm going to go out and sit me on a rock and I'll put my arms in the air and we'll stop the sun from moving. Just get some guys come out and hold my arms up. Let's get this. We don't want the sun coming up. I never had that, thank God. But anyhow, but you know, you want to, this is why it's your own personal life of walking along. Sometimes people don't realize. They go bypass something in their spirit that was trying to tell them, you know, not to do something or to go do something. Because what? It isn't God trying to mess you up. He's trying to bless you. He's trying to keep you out of things. There's things that I got into. See, I got messed up into things where the Lord, at one time, standing in a church. I'm a young Christian, standing in a church. People come walking into church and come walking in. And I'm telling this during the worship service. The worship service is about halfway through. And they come in. You know, those crowd come in, you know. There, you know, church is really important. Anyhow, but he's standing there and it just rose up inside. Now, this is where a voice spoke to me. This is a voice. And it said, it ain't doing them any good to be here. Well, the first thing I thought was, why would I think that about somebody? See, I was just learning things about the Spirit. But you know what? That got me in trouble because I bypassed that and got involved with those people. God was trying to protect me, and I was trying to be Mr. Loving instead of realizing God was trying to kick them under the bus for me. And they should have been kicked under the bus. But we're so darn loving. So, I went through things I wouldn't have had to go through because of that. God warned me about it, would have brought the whole thing to stop immediately. Found out, you know, they were Rhema graduates, but that somebody graduating from school don't make you spiritual. I met people from Rhema just as dumb as a stick. I'll tell you what, I've ran into Baptists are 100 times more spiritual than they are. I just, going to a school will make you spiritual. You gotta do something with it. And some people, they're going through the motions of things. They're going through motions of things. But they didn't and end up heathen. I mean, the guy's treating his wife bad and doing all kind of stuff and things. I mean, what good did it do to God? What good, you know, see all those things that don't matter. You do bad things and don't walk right and live right. Well, you know, those things, it'll all catch up with you. And don't watch it. It hurts a lot of other people. See, I learned to be much more keen about on the inside of you getting checks about things and that stuff, of what to go. I've watched it over times of people getting involved in things, and I'm just thinking, stay away from that. Just keeps coming. That just stay. It's not a voice, but in the inside, just stay away from that. And I'll tell you what, over time, sometimes it takes a long period of time, but I'll tell you, it ends up costing people because they get out there, it looks good. It looks good. Oh yeah. That's how a lot of the stuff got started. I mean, you think about today in the church world. Now we have in the New Testament tells us not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together as we see the day approach. Loads of spirit-filled churches are in rebellion against that. No, oh, we're doing really good, and we have 10,000 people watching us online. We have all this stuff. I've heard ministers say that we even have more money than we had before. Is that the measure? God didn't know. How do you lay hands on the sick? How do you do this stuff that the Bible says when nobody gets together? God's still in the contact business. The church isn't. The church is trying to learn how to have a religion and make money and get numbers for themselves without God. Technology has become the thing. The devil won the COVID thing. He won hands down. He beat the church because the church followed him hook, line, and sinker. The devil beat the church. Because now, the government and technology are the God. Technology is our answer. That old fogey stuff of getting together. That old fogey stuff that you have to go to the place where it's at. I can get it all online now. I don't have to be there. It comes through the air to me, and I don't need the rest of the body. What good are any gifts in the body? Why would anybody in the body, God put gifts in them when we don't get together? There's no need of them. We have no need. We see, people don't, they're talking about doing this stuff, but I tell you, they don't see it. They don't see what it's cost the church. And it's cost the church dearly. And then on the other side, they're praying over here and in here, God bless us. Well, they'll get a blessing, but it ain't from God. See, the devil will bring you money if you'll follow him. We know this is true. We got a lot of rich devil people in this nation, don't we? It's one of the things we've had wrong teaching in the areas that the idea that, well, you know, if you follow God in the Word, like that's the only way you can get rich, you know, the only way you can get blessed. No, I'm going to tell you, follow the devil. So what they do is they follow whatever looks like is working. Then that becomes God, because see, God's the only one that can make you rich. But I'll tell you what, our wealth has definitely had a lot of sorrow came with it in this nation. Loads of sorrow has come with the money. Loads of it. See, that's why I'm big on the Word. I realize that people like that, and people are on that. Because I've asked ministers about this. They say, well, you know, this, that, that. Well, I say, what about what the Scripture says? Why would you think God didn't know that COVID and all that stuff was coming along, and he said, you know, you need to get together, especially when you see the day drawing close. Oh, make sure you get together. I guess God ain't actually, he ain't as smart as we thought. He didn't know. He couldn't see down to our generation from that. He had a block somewhere along the line. His glasses didn't work or something. I don't know what happened. He couldn't see that far. There's things and anointings that people will never get that you have to be present to get it. You must be present. You must be. You ain't getting it over TV, and you ain't getting it off the CD, and you have to get it out of your MP3 player or whatever it is. You ain't getting it. You gotta go. You gotta go. Whether people realize it or not, that's the way it is, you know. I don't attend meetings just because I need a meeting to attend. You know, I feel led of the Spirit to be there at that. You know, it eats up a lot of your time and everything else. But I have a choice. Do I want to have what God wants, or I'm looking for things and trying to get all the stuff that I want? And when I can work God in somewhere, we'll let him in, you know. Whenever I want a blessing, I'll let him know about it. But if we don't do the things to be blessed, it doesn't work. You know, and I'm not going to lie to people. I'm not, you know, we have today, you know, like everything is going to work out. No, it's not. I'm just telling you, it's not going to. We're living in a nation, people, you know, even in a move of God, I'm just going to tell you this, there's going to be a lot of suffering. A lot of people, and you ain't going to stop it. You ain't got enough money and time because God ain't going to stop it. God's trying to get people's attention. And they went, he's not letting the devil do its work. Isn't it amazing today, all the nonsense going on, but people just keep beating the same darn horse? I mean, I have laughed concerning the Republican Party. You know, they sit there crying about this election didn't turn out the way they want, and what do? Put the same old leaders back in. I mean, you talk about stupid, dumb people, ain't got a brain in their head. Don't you know what you were doing didn't work? Ain't you figured it out? No. But I told you this. People are going to be disappointed. I told you election front. People are going to be disappointed. It ain't going to be what people think. And the Republicans ain't going to be what people think. I mean, they have this, just meddling in some things. You know, we have, Biden's son, all the illegal stuff done. And the Republicans have already said in the House that they wouldn't call Biden himself to testify, even though he's involved in it. Our president is involved in wrong dealings and that stuff. My God, the Democrats would drag him right in, the president. It don't matter. But Republican, no, we're not going to do it. We're just going to sit back and let the crook go. I'm just going to say this. Don't bother with that. Don't pay any attention. This thing ain't going to do with his son. They ain't going to do nothing with it anyhow. Just complain about what they find out. That's what they're going to do with it. That's the way they do it. It don't matter. Why? It's just the same old thing. Telling me stuff and they ain't going to do it. It's just going to be more wind. But you know what? See, I'm not going to be disappointed. I know what's coming. I'm not going to sit there. Well, I thought they were going to. Well, if you listened to your heart, you'd have known it wasn't. You would have known if people, God's trying to show people. See, you just got to set, God will try to keep you away from the disappointing things. He wants to show you so you don't set your heart on things. Because you'll set yourself on stuff and then your disappointment, then you get all frustrated and mad. Whose fault's that? Amen. See, I wasn't all frustrated and upset the way the elections turned out. I knew there wasn't going to be what they said. Why? Am I so smart? No, the Holy Ghost is so smart. I just knew on the inside, it's not going to be what you think. It ain't going to be what they think. No, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to be what they think. Listen on the inside. I don't care what somebody else says. It leads you so you don't get discouraged. God don't want you discouraged. He wants you to know. He wants you to know how to set your faith. If your heart was set on that and it didn't work, what happens to that faith that you had? It was set on something that wasn't going to happen. Now, your faith gets crushed over here. And now we got to take another maybe 6, 8, 10 weeks before you get yourself out of the dumps and back over to, well, now we're going to start trusting God here. But it ain't about the next election I'm trusting God. That ain't on the agenda. I don't care what Trump does. I block every email. I'm sick of it. All 400 emails a day. It's like, this is it. I'm voting Jesus in this next election. Jesus, this next election. I want to get him in the church. I'll tell you, the church lets him in, they're going to love it.
Amen.
In spite of all this nonsense, if we bring Jesus back in the church, then we can bring Jesus back into much in the nation. That's the only thing. I'm bringing Jesus back. That's my vote. It's Jesus in the church. He's going to be the king. He ain't going to be president. I ain't going to have no vote. We're just bringing him back in. He gets to rule and reign. He doesn't have to ask my permission. He don't have to get an approval from Ed. Hallelujah. We're going to let him rule. We want to let him rule and reign. Hallelujah. Why? Because he's wise. And you know what? He wants to bless.
Amen.
He's never changed. He wants to bless. He changes not. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. For the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There is a remnant church in America that's listening, that wants to know, There's a remnant church that's hungering and thirsting for righteousness, and it will be filled. There's a remnant church that desires the glory of God, and they'll see it. There's a remnant church. God will show up for who wants Him. People don't want Him. But I'll tell you what, there's people in this world, they don't know how to believe God. They don't know a thing. It's never been preached to them. They don't know. Oh, they know maybe some religious stuff, but they really don't. They don't know a true God. And they're waiting to see and hear about a true God. And there's only one way. We need to understand this. The preaching of the Word is the only way. The telling the truth. There's a truth. And this book has the truth in it. And you can't preach anything else but the truth. The truth will bear witness to God, and God will draw men to Him from the preaching of the truth. Amen. And if we'll stand up and tell the truth, right now the church world don't want to upset people. You know, we don't say anything. You know, we don't want to mention about that, Don't say anything about homosexuality. Don't say anything about, because it can cause problems. Maybe the government will come and take your tax exempt status. They don't have to worry about it. I'll give it to them. Amen. I'm sick of this junk. I don't give just because I can write something off. I'm going to give whether I can write off or not. If God can't bless me only through the government's giving me a tax write-off, He ain't who He said He was, and I ain't going to bother following Him. He can bless. And see, we need to come back. There's nothing wrong with the government. I thank God they give us, you know, they give an opportunity and write off. Hallelujah. Thank God. But I tell you what, it ain't why I give.
Amen.
See, we need to lose this thing out here. And I said, people, look at what they're doing. Well, you know, what if we lose? I've heard men ministries talking about, what do we lose? We lose our tax exempt. So they don't say anything. You know, certain things you don't preach, you don't talk about. Big name ministries, they don't touch. I mean, I'll just be blunt about it. I mean, Rhema sent me a thing about when we were dealing with theirs, homosexuality was first, the Supreme Court said, you know, it's all okay, get married and everything else. And Rhema sent me a thing about it and that stuff and said about, well, I guess, first of all, the first thing he sent to us is, you shouldn't publicly say anything or like put it in your church bylaws. We made sure that it was directly written in our bylaws. I want people to know where I believe. I don't give a rip what anybody says about it. I don't care what they say. Just put it right in there. And they said, well, they went, first of all, it says, you know, we put it in our statement of faith. And we put it in there. Well, they said, you know, don't do that. Don't put it in, because then, see, everybody gets to see it. Then you put it in your bylaws, you know, you can go hide it under somewhere. And this is what they literally said. I got the email. I still kept it. It was one of the things is why I left their ministerial fellowship. It's because they said, don't tell your congregation. And I'm like, what? Well, see, it's not what you need to understand this. A church don't belong to a person. If you have somebody that you allowed to join the church and they didn't know homosexuality was wrong or a lesbianism or anything like that was wrong, and you let them in and made them, and you didn't tell them, give them the bylaws or whatever it is that says they can't do that, you cannot put them out of the church, because the church don't belong to a minister of the church. When you have a tax exempt status, your ministry don't really actually belong to you. It's under the thing of the government. A church is really under the thing of all the people. But if you don't put it out there and let the people know what's going on, you really can't do a thing about it. And there are churches today that have homosexuals in it. They cannot get out of their church because they let them in and they made them members without saying anything about it. They didn't teach it. It was wrong. They didn't let them come in, not say anything. You know, we don't want people to do anything. And you can't kick them out of membership. Government won't allow you to. It's illegal. See, this is about telling what you actually believe. See, I get pretty noisy about what I believe. That's me. I don't care if people know. Don't like it? Adios amigos. I'll saddle your horse for you and slap it and get you out of town. Don't matter to me. Let them throw rocks. I'll buy them bags. They can carry them in. It don't matter. Well, we ain't changing what we preach.
Amen.
And see, when they turn around, said, don't tell your congregation what you're standing against. This is what we've come to. And don't think Rhema's bad. It's loaded with the big ministries doing this because they don't want any problems from the government. We don't touch certain things. You don't say too much about it. How are we going to get people to come to Christ if their life's all right? What do they need Jesus for? If living like hell's okay, and it seems to be today in the church world, living like hell's all right. See, we got to stop and say, hey, hold it. You need saved. You can't go to heaven like that. The Bible tells us about, you know, the homosexuals. They're not going to see the kingdom of God. It says in the New Testament. Ha! Wonder who wrote that in there. And then they call it Christianity by not telling people these things and that stuff. I'm like, it's not true. See, we've gone to so much in pagan. We want you, how could you be led by the Spirit when you're led by demons? It's impossible to be led by the Spirit. And this is what happens. Most of the church world today is led by demons. They're listening to this stuff. They're listening to the world. They let the world dictate what we're going to preach. We don't want to upset the world. I'm sorry. The gospel upset the world in the beginning, and it's never going to change. Jesus Christ is always going to be a word that is a, it almost seems like a four-letter word, which a four-letter word to Christians shouldn't be a, is not a good thing for if you're actually a Christian. But it's like talking filthy to the world. The name of Jesus is hated. It's hated. You can be any religion you want today, and they'll hang out with you. But if you put Jesus in front of it, well, oh, that's another thing, see. But there's salvation under no other name. And we're bowed to these, and I'm going to tell you what it is. We bowed to demons today. And the demons have brought fear in and made the church afraid to use the name, made the church afraid to tell the truth. It won't, the Bible, these words in this gospel can't draw people anymore. It can only cause trouble. God can't save through the words. He can't preach the word because people don't like it. And then they say, we want people saved. Impossible. That's why people aren't getting saved today. That's why people, churches, letting people in, calling them Christians. It ain't ever passed from death unto life. Just full of death. We've lost the fact this word's true and it'll produce what it says. And nobody gets saved without preaching the truth. Amen. Sin sending you hell. An unbeliever, the judgment of God's on him. See, we don't want to say these things. God's wrath, it says, John wrote in 3rd chapter of John, John 3:33, the wrath of God is on the unbeliever. No, not they. No, he loves everybody. I thought, wow, the wrath of God's on him? God loves everybody to save them, but if they don't, they're going to get the wrath. They ain't going to get the love. But we don't tell people. How do they know they need to save? They're preached a false god, a god that accepts everything. And that's right. Demons are being preached from the pulpits. The ideas and philosophies of demons and men as being preached. Well, see, you can't be led by the Spirit and go along with that. That's why you have to stay in line, stay with the Word of God. The Word's true. God didn't send His Son to hurt anybody. It was every man was already hurt and on to destruction and lost. It's to save men. And we have to sit down and say, the Bible's true. And what it says is the love of God. The love of God says, Ed, you're a knucklehead. Then Ed's a knucklehead. It wasn't because God didn't love me. He wants to bless me. He wants me to straighten out. That's why the Bible says, speak the truth in love. He didn't say, speak love. He said, speak the truth. If it ain't truth, there was no love in it. Amen. If it ain't the truth, it's called a lie. And is a lie love? It is today. The demonic powers in the church world has turned the God to what is this God that we worship and love into a liar, a thief, and a thief and a cheat who hates men. And the churches are filled with people drawing, you know, I'm looking for a good church. I'm looking for a church that lets me live like hell and says I'm all right. That's what I'm looking for. This is a good church. I'm looking for a good one. I'm looking for a church. We aren't saying, God, send me to the place that I need to hear. No, God, send me to the place I like to hear. What do I need to hear? See, we've lost that. See, you're freaks. You need to understand that. You're freaks, so get over it. You're freaks. And you are from a standpoint. You're a freak because you believe in something than most of the church world because they have accepted, and really, people like to hear this, they're preaching under demonic anointings and saying things, keeping people on course in their life to continue the same. You can go today and sit in a church and never have to change your life and feel comfortable. That's the attempt today. Everybody feel comfortable. Everybody. You can have all your own beliefs and all your own things and we can all come together, and if we really love each other, you never say anything or do anything. We all become comfortable. rule by the nation. I'm going to tell you what, it's about to get very uncomfortable in this nation. It's about, the comfort's going to be kicked out from under people, and suffering is going to come because of what people are doing. Oh yeah. Things ain't going to turn out well for people. It can't. Say, well, how do you know that? Are you a prophet? No. I've done read the book and I know this. You can't keep sinning and get away with it. And any preacher tells you that it's, oh yeah, it's just gonna, we can get to the place that we are in our nation. We need our, you can't get to the place. There's judgments you can't stop. There's things we may hold off for time, but you will not stop everything. You can't stop everybody from reaping what they sow. You can't get, you ain't gonna do it. Jesus couldn't do it. Did Jerusalem not fall? Keep going and keep after it. You keep kicking God out. The Jews never turned, it didn't turn out well for the Jews, did it? Kicking God out. And they did. When the Messiah came to them, they kicked him out. How did it work for them as a nation? Did things really get a lot better? I mean, till today, they ended up with their own nation, but they fight every day over that thing of that nation. Always, what's it all about? The rejection of the Messiah. And through the rejection of the Messiah, the evil one has access. And he has tormented that nation, and tormented that nation, and tormented that nation. If it wouldn't be for the mercy of God, they wouldn't exist. This is what the scripture says about Israel in our day. The Bible says it was backed by the prophets. It was talked about the end times, and God said he was not going to save Israel for their sake. He was going to save Israel for his name's sake. God is going to do it for himself. They deserve nothing. Can you imagine? See, people don't know that. We don't know about that kind of God today because nobody talks about it, you know? Sometimes in life, I deserve nothing, but God was good. Amen. And he did it for, he blessed Ed for his name's sake, not because Ed. We don't preach that God. We don't preach that God. See, people say God's going to save Israel because he loves them so much. That's not what the scripture says. God made a claim that he was going to save them, and they got so ugly, they ain't even worth saving. But he ain't dealing with them. He's going to come and save them because he said he was. That's it. Amen. They can't come to him and say, well, you know, we did this. They can't get, they have nothing to stand. They have nothing, no righteousness to stand on whatsoever. He's going to do it just because he said so. See, it's hard to figure those things out. But it's Bible. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I thank God he's going to do it for. He's going to deliver because for his name's sake. That's our God. See, in our nation, there needs to be a great awakening here. And in the church world, we need to get back to being led by the Spirit of God. We need to come back to that place, the Spirit-filled life. You know, there's some of us, we didn't leave it, but much of the church world left it for the church of the world, for the church. And I just encourage you, desire, if anything you desire, desire to be led by the Spirit of God. If anything you desire, you want. See, I want God to be real to me. I want God to be alive in me. Because I tell you, when pressure comes, you need a living God. The pages in the book ain't enough. Those pages, you need to look at them and say, you know, I know this is true. I know. Hallelujah. See, the Spirit bears witness with my spirit. This is true. This is right. I have an experience with God, not just knowing by history. I don't know the God of the past. I know the God of today. He's a God was from the past, but I know him today. I'm not trying to, the God of the past in Israel and what he did. No, it don't matter what he did, is what he'll do today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If he opened the Red Sea for him, great. I don't need the Red Sea open right now, but I need to know him right now in my life. I need to have him real right today where I'm at, and so do you. And he will be real to you. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Your God is real. Your God is alive. Hallelujah. And he's alive in you. Hallelujah. I always think about Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth. Don't you know that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God is there. Don't you? I mean, oh, what a revelation you, the temple of God, you are. Hallelujah. Not some other guy, you know. It wasn't Billy Graham. He was the temple of God, maybe, you know. See, people look at it, look at other people. You are. You. You're the temple of God. And the Spirit of God lives in you. God moved in. Amen. You and God are one.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my God. Oh, we want to live that. We don't want it just words on a page. We want to live that God is in us. That becomes real to us. Hallelujah. You know, I've had people over the years come and say, would you pray with me? I'm going to go do such a pray. God will go with me. I said, well, how are you not going to go with you? He lives in you. You know, whether you want him or not, he's going to be going with. So, it's like, you know, see people that God would go with me. Lots of times what people mean by that, what they're doing is trying to figure out if they're supposed to be doing what they're doing. And as they ask God to go with me, well, do you know you're supposed to be doing it? But see, we don't have to ask God, you know. I was over in India and I'd get this over there when I was over there and then people come and say, I want you to pray for me for the blessing. And I'd always say, well, what blessing are you talking about? What blessing? Well, I just want to be blessed. I said, well, what blessing? I said, you say, let's pray for a blessing. I said, what's a blessing to you? A blessing to you may be $1.50 somebody hand to you. Yeah. Me, a blessing might be $10,000. See, I'm more on the $10,000 side than that. But God said a blessing. And I said, the first guy did it with me, I said, the Bible says you're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. I said, what more is there? Which one do you want? You found out one that... That was missed? What was it? And he looked at me just sort of dumb. I said, the Bible says you are blessed. Why are you trying to get what you got? Why don't you go around and declare that you're blessed instead of trying around getting blessed? But see, it wasn't just him. People do it, Christians in America all the time are doing this stuff. See, this is where faith, where God becomes real. I remember those things became real to me, a revelation that I was blessed. When the revelation came to me that I was healed, that I'm not trying to get healed, I was. When that revelation came to me, that was an astounding thing. That was like writing a check to $1 million to hand to me. My God, God already healed me. I never heard, you know, you listen to people preach it. They might have been said, but it wasn't dawning on you. But when you got that, I got that myself. See, it became my revelation. Don't matter how much somebody else's revelation got, it becomes yours. And I'll never forget when that became a revelation to me that I was healed. That changed completely what I ever did concerning healing after. I never prayed or did. In fact, I never prayed after that for healing. Never did. I just declare, hey, no, I'm here. Thank you, Lord. I just stop and say, Lord, I want to thank you for healing me. I'm so glad I'm well. I'm so glad I'm whole. Thank you for healing me. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to get you to heal me. Lord God, you did it 2,000 years before I was ever born on the face of the earth. Before I came out of my mother's womb, I was already healed by God. Can you imagine? What if we told people that when they start off? There's wonderful revelations. But see, this the Holy Spirit wants to bring those. That's what he wants to bring those revelations out. That we're not trying to be blessed. That God said, when you accepted Jesus, every blessing I got yours. Everything I got. What is it a blessing today? What can you find in the scripture that says that in a way that God blessed you or God's plan for you? What do you find? It's already yours. All you got to do is receive it. You don't say, God, would you please give me that? Say, no, Lord God, I see it's mine. I see that you over. You know what, Lord? I'm going to take that today. I'm coming to the bank and I'm walking up the window and saying, okay, I'm drawing that out today. That was mine. See, it's already to our account. It's not something we're trying to get. See, I was always told you're always trying to get God to give you something. You were always trying to pray God to ask him. And then if it didn't show up, which you were in unbelief anyhow, it wasn't going to show up. And it didn't show up, then you start to think sometimes he says yes, sometimes he said no. And he never said no. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus?
Yes.
You know what God's saying to you today? Yes. Hallelujah! He's saying yes to you. Hallelujah! Don't worry, there are preachers will tell you no, but God said yes. God said yes to you. Why? You're the temple of God. The Spirit of God is living in you. Hallelujah. He'll bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God, that it all belongs to you, that the same inheritance that Jesus won in His victory over sin and death, when He was raised from the dead and He took His blood into the holies of holies and He made an eternal salvation, every victory He won was your victory. Everything that He attained was what you attained. You have the same inheritance. That's mine. You got heaven's inheritance.
Hallelujah.
Man, everybody trying to get the earth stuff. Dear God. Woo! Hallelujah. You got heaven stuff, getting the earth stuff ain't no problem at all. I mean, you got it made in the shade.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's our God. That's our God. Father, I just want to thank you this morning. Lord, I'm thank you. Lord God, I get to stand in front of blessed people. Hallelujah. Amen. Not cursed. Lord God, a people. They believe your word. Lord God, how wonderful it is to be among people who believe what you said was true. Glory to God, that you're the God that changes not. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you. Lord God, we're going to stand and we're going to stand before you with joy. We're not going to get sad in these last days. Lord God, surely our heart does get broken looking at people and what they're doing. But Lord God, for ourselves, we're blessed. Hallelujah. Lord God, Lord, we can stand, Lord God, without shame or wonder because Lord God, you're going to take care of us. You're going to look after us. And Lord God, we're going to keep talking the truth in love. We're going to keep telling the people the truth. And Father God, I want to thank you. People are going to be transformed from death unto life. Hallelujah. Change from death unto life. Hallelujah. Lord, that men and women are going to put the life of God on. Hallelujah. Father God, a changed people. Lord God, hallelujah. Becoming new creations. Father God. Father, there's a late last harvest in these days, and Lord God, that harvest will come that many, many, many will rise up and come into the kingdom. Hallelujah. Father, that your glory and your word is going to shine forth in these last days. And Father, Lord, if anything I pray for the church world is a spirit of boldness to speak the word. A spirit of boldness to speak the word. Lord God, an uncompromising people. Hallelujah. And Jesus Christ, you reaching forth your hand that signs and wonders are done in your wonderful name. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. Father, our expectations are high. We, Lord God, are looking for, Lord God, wonderful and glorious things. Hallelujah. Father, the day will shortly come. It will shortly come that we're going to all stand face to face with you. The Church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And Lord God, we're not going to be surrounded by a few. We're not going to be surrounded by just a couple. Lord God, the glory of God is bringing in by the kingdom multitudes upon multitudes upon multitudes. Hallelujah. That men, women, and children. Hallelujah. With their hands lifted, glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ, magnifying Him. Hallelujah. Oh, Father God, we're going to be standing on the sea of glass with, oh Lord God, with people without number. Hallelujah. So great a cloud. Father, we thank you that we're part of that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Lord Jesus, without a doubt, you're the Savior. Without a doubt, salvation comes under no other name. You saved us, and you have kept us to this hour and this time. And Lord God, it's not been by our great will and the wonderful things that we've done. It's Lord God, you have kept us. Hallelujah. Father, you kept inspiring us. You kept pulling us forward. We ask for more, and you've never stopped. You've always given more. You've always directed us further. And Father God, we want to thank you. And Father, I'm just going to declare again and again and again till you come back. The good work that you started in us, you're going to bring it to completion. Hallelujah. You will complete it, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're going to be a blessing to your kingdom, and not because of our greatness, it's because your great greatness working in us. Hallelujah. Father God, you doing in us what we cannot do, but we get to walk in the glory of it. Hallelujah. What a God we serve. We thank you, Father God, for all that you're going to accomplish and do in us and through us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.